This originally started out as a comment, but it very quickly grew too long, so I thought it'd be better suited as its own video. That being the case, you can think of this as a quasi-response to Coach Red Pill. I say quasi-response because whilst I am responding to his video, it's really more of a springboard for me to explain my own thoughts on this whole issue, which have unfolded over the last month or so. In fact, if you're watching, Coach, I thought your video was really good. I agree with a lot of the points you've made, and to the extent that I disagree with others, you're still probably the most reasonable, level-headed person I've seen commenting on this issue, which is why I'm responding to your video rather than someone else's. So please don't take any criticisms here personally. It's really more of a way for me to get my own ideas out. For starters, I think we need to go back to the beginning of this whole saga, Rage After Storm.
Anyway, Crown and T, about a month ago, it came out that he had tried to dox a woman named Rage After Storm. He couldn't understand his moral responsibility for having tried to dox Rage After Storm.
Okay, I could be completely mistaken here, but from what I understand, she had her YouTube channel and the UKIP blog both publicly linked on her Twitter profile. That being the case, I'm not sure that what Kraut did could technically be called doxing. I think it was plenty stupid of him to even walk that line given his previous moral grandstanding on such issues, and his video trying to justify it afterwards was a train wreck. But in trying to be as accurate as possible about this situation, I probably would not go so far as to say that Kraut actually doxed Rage After Storm. Additionally, I keep hearing about how he tried to get her fired. She got fired, fired from her job, etc., etc. I mean, you repeat this talking point several times yourself.
You see, we who are free speech absolutists recognize that if we are afraid of losing our jobs, then we are going to limit ourselves insofar as our speech is concerned. We're not going to have real free speech. But that pernicious fear of losing your job because of what you say, in a half-hearted attempt to get her fired from her job, because if they are afraid of losing their jobs, then they don't really have free speech. She'd actually had been fired from her job.
Let's be very clear about this. The reason that going after someone's job is so bad is because it is an attack on their livelihood. But Rage After Storm wasn't in a paid position. More importantly, to the extent that we can call what she was doing a job, she wasn't packing boxes at a supermarket or waiting tables at a cafe. This was not a clear-cut case of someone being fired from their job for holding unpopular opinions. She was writing for a blog affiliated with a political party. I consider myself something of a free speech absolutist as well, and I don't think anyone should live in fear of being fired for wrongthink. However, if your job is actually penning opinion pieces on behalf of a political party, I don't think it's wholly unreasonable for that party to know exactly where your political affiliations lie. As a de facto representative of the party, if the other stuff she was publishing online was not compatible with UKIP's party platform, that would seem to me like a professional conflict of interest rather than the clear-cut free speech issue you're trying to make this out to be. She's entitled to her free speech, she's entitled to her opinion, but when her so-called job is a spokesperson for a political organization, any other conflicting political opinions that she publishes start to matter a whole lot more in terms of her ability to appropriately perform her job. All in all, I don't think Kraut was in the right. However, given some of the nuances to this situation, like the fact that these supposed docs were in fact Rage After Storm's own public Twitter profile, and the fact that her job was writing on behalf of a political party, I also think that the internet drama which unfolded has really eclipsed the scope of what was actually a much smaller and much more nuanced original issue. And you know what? That's Kraut's fault. He shouldn't have doubled down and made that fucking video. I don't think he necessarily doxed her, and I think she had a professional conflict of interest to begin with. However, Crouch certainly wasn't in a position to try and take the moral high ground either. He should have either left the issue alone entirely, or as you suggested, made some kind of strategic apology. It is ultimately his own fault that this situation has negatively blown back on him the way it has. But this is where we shift gears a little bit. Ultimately, Crouch's main fuck-up was hubris and ego. He doubled down and subsequently spawned a much larger internet drama, which overtook what was originally a much smaller issue. My concern is that I think a lot of people are now possibly fucking up themselves by letting that same internet drama overtake entirely new issues. Case in point...
Right, Crouch is just one guy and not a very bright guy. To tell you the truth, the video shows a man of very limited intelligence. Somebody not to be taken seriously on an intellectual level. He's not very bright. He thinks he is. And that's his great flaw. I think it was Dizzy Gillespie who said it to Mingus. He said, it ain't arrogance if you can back it up, right? The problem is that Kraut can't back it up. He's not bright. He's arrogant, but he's not too bright. And this video just shows it. He's just a fucking idiot, right?
I don't think Kraut is stupid. Without creating a whole new drama by dropping names, I have seen a lot of stupid people on YouTube come and go over the years. I don't think Crouch is one of them. You can argue about his hit-to-shit ratio, you can argue that he lets his ego get the better of him, you can argue that he often puts his foot in his mouth given some of his moral grandstanding, but stupid people, by and large, do not make videos like The Return of Soviet Realism or The Power of Nonsense or Legal Arson with Sean. These kinds of videos demonstrate not just novel thought, but also a strong knowledge base of art and political history, as well as the stamina to dig through dry legal documents which other lazier content creators are not prepared to do. Therein lies my main concern with this position that a lot of people have taken against Crouch. I don't think everything in and out of the man's mouth is immediately invalidated by fiat because of some inflated Twitter drama that happened a few months ago. Yes, Crouch fucked up, but even in spite of that, he still seems like one of the more astute European political commentators on YouTube, and I think there is still value in his point of view. I think it would be a huge mistake to assume that he's a complete idiot and everything he says is wrong. Specifically, on the point of RK selection theory.
Talk about is what's called the RK selection theory. That's very simple. RK selection theory is the theory that different species have different reproductive strategies. The people talking about it often refer to RK selection theory as a handy metaphor. It is not intended to be taken literally. The same way, for instance, that if, say, I have a big project at work and I say to you, oh man, if I don't finish this project, I'm going straight to hell. Well, nobody thinks that I'm actually going to go to hell with the devil and a pitchfork there waiting for me because I don't complete this project for work, right? Nobody thinks that. Everybody knows that it's a metaphor, a figure of speech.
I have had countless people turn up on my channel telling me in all seriousness about how I haven't accounted for RK selection theory or I don't understand RK selection theory, often linking me back to people like Stefan Molyneux, who are addressing the issue in a very serious manner and going quite deeply into the science behind it. No, I don't think it's just a metaphor. Even to the extent that you want to argue it's just a metaphor, I don't think it's in any way analogous to some throwaway cliche like, I'm going to hell if I don't finish my work. There is a situational component to this, and even the concept of hell becomes a lot less metaphorical if we start talking about the ideological motivations behind the Westboro Baptist Church waving their signs around. When they talk about hell, they are not talking metaphorically. Likewise, the race realists are in fact using RK to try and explain specific real-world aspects of human behavior. This is not just some vague metaphorical idiom like you're suggesting. If I was a particularly cynical individual, which I am, it would seem to me like this is a rather slippery situation where these individuals are indeed using RK selection as a catch-all scientific theory to explain some very complicated socio-political dynamics. And then when they're questioned on it, they fall back on this excuse that it's just a metaphor to avoid any deeper scrutiny, i.e., the goalposts shift depending on the convenience of the situation. And frankly, I think a little more care should be taken when assessing exactly what that situation is. Even in your own description of RK as a metaphor, I think you unintentionally touch upon the problem yourself that Kraut's video was ultimately trying to address.
A handy metaphor of how different ethnic groups tend to reproduce. Some ethnic groups have several children, other ethnic groups have very few children. All right, now this is actually true. For instance, in Africa, the average I think now is something like six or seven children per woman. It's something absurd like that. Whereas in Italy, you know, it's 1.15 children per woman. You know, it doesn't really matter. The point is, see, people use RK selection as a metaphor.
See, the problem with attributing this to different ethnic groups is that 100 years ago, white Europeans were having that many children as well. My grandfather on my father's side was first generation Australian, born to poor Irish immigrants during the Great Depression. He was one of 12 children. A mere three generations later, and the birth rate is 2.0. That kind of change is too rapid and too dramatic to be explained by genetics. Everything we've observed seems to indicate that this difference in human offspring numbers is a direct result of biologically similar peoples interacting with quite varied environments. To quote Wikipedia, the great source that it is, there is generally an inverse correlation between income and fertility with and between nations. The higher the degree of education and GDP per capita of a human population, subpopulation, or social stratum, the fewer children are born in any industrialized country. In a 1974 UN population conference in Bucharest, Karan Sai, a former Minister of Population in India, illustrated this trend by stating, "Development is the best contraceptive." To be clear, this is still the natural outcome of biological processes. Perhaps not the most accurate explanation, but in the interest of getting the point across, it's along the same lines of genotype plus environment equals phenotype. It's all ultimately biological, but the point is that this variance in offspring numbers seems to be largely driven by the socioeconomic environment rather than anything specific to the genes. Now, it may seem like I'm nitpicking and playing semantics here, but given that we're ultimately addressing the issue of race realism, this is actually a rather important distinction to make if you're going to ascribe these differences in offspring numbers to quote-unquote different ethnic groups. Semantics, perhaps, but the point remains that what you've described with the term ethnic groups is not particularly accurate to describe the data we see. For all of his other faults and shortcomings, what Kraut described in his video was. There really wasn't anything Kraut said about RK in his video that stood out to me as being egregiously incorrect. RK is specifically related to genetically evolved differences in strategies for reproductive success, which really can't be applied to minor variances that are entirely the result of environmental differences within the same genetic species. Metaphor or not, trying to frame these different fertility rates in terms of race realism is incorrect. Some of Kraut's examples in the video may at first glance seem like absurd strawmen, but frankly, it's because applying RK to explain things like African birth rates really is that absurd. Whilst there are different phenotypic averages between broad genetic populations, the number of offspring doesn't seem to be a big one. In terms of RK selection being applied to humans to explain birth rates, or more strangely, things like Republican-Democratic leanings, Kraut was absolutely correct to talk about the fact that human populations are not speciated and therefore operate on the same basic reproductive biology. Because if you choose to go down the path of RK and race realism to try and explain these differences in fertility rates, the logical conclusion that you must arrive at is in fact fundamental differences in basic reproductive biology between these human groups. However, that conclusion is obviously incorrect. Race realists will cry metaphor, they will cry straw man, but the cold hard fact is that RK selection theory just doesn't fit the observable facts when talking about different human groups. Black people and white people can still successfully have fertile offspring. There just isn't that much genetic reproductive difference between these human groups. The differences we see in fertility rates is much more easily explained by socioeconomic environment, not race. Kraut's video was by no means perfect. I think it would have been much better without the polemics, something that admittedly I've been guilty of myself in the past. However, I do actually think there is value in a video like this, which specifically looks at RK selection theory being applied, or rather misapplied, to humans as a strict reproductive theory rather than a supposed metaphor. Tying this all together, the facts of this whole situation as I currently see them are that, whilst dickish, petty, and hypocritical, I don't think Kraut actually doxed Rage After Storm by any reasonable definition of the term. I think Rage After Storm very clearly had a professional conflict of interest rather than being some innocent victim of a free speech violation. This doesn't necessarily excuse Kraut's behaviour. He did let his ego get the better of him, he fucked up, and then he doubled down with an online tantrum. All of that said, whatever damage that drama and meltdown may have done to his personal credibility or online brand or whatever you want to call it, doesn't necessarily invalidate everything he's ever said. Despite the pushback that he's getting as a result of his tarnished reputation, his presentation of RNK selection theory being misapplied to human populations was for the most part accurate. Like I said, there was nothing in his video that really stood out as being factually, scientifically incorrect. Easy targets and the internet drama machine being what they are, I have to wonder if anyone else had made this video, whether they'd be receiving the same level of abject hatred that Kraut currently is, especially from people who, for the most part, are otherwise opposed to the concepts of race realism. Well, just our luck, it seems we actually have an experimental control to compare it against. Stardust released his video just the other day in which he literally introduces RNK as, quote, unscientific dogma born of fear, an agenda-driven campaign that makes partial use of actual science and partial use of human imagination, perhaps the most humorous and negligent of all the anti-science stances available, end quote. In the video, Stardust talks about RNK's inability to account for environmental variance, which is largely why it has been supplanted by the far more comprehensive life history theory. The fact that even strictly talking in terms of biology and genetics, many species tend to fall along a spectrum with conflicting categorical attributes rather than being strictly R or strictly K selected. He briefly mentions that the theory can't be applied to political descriptions, or even more strange and outlandish, the classification of inanimate objects as being R or K selected, ultimately concluding that it doesn't make sense for laymen on the internet to continue using a model that biologists themselves have overturned in the loosest possible way to describe politics. And finally, he states that all people are by definition unequivocally K-selected, even going so far as to explicitly state that for a human to be considered R-selected, they would have to, quote, reproduce thrice a year, giving birth to 20 young at once. Frankly, not dissimilar to Kraut's statements about reptilian reproduction, which he accompanied with this distorted picture of what an R-selected human woman might actually look like. Stardust's video was clearer, it was more in-depth, and it lacked the polemic drama aspect, but nothing that Kraut presented about RNK in terms of the science and subsequent misapplication to human populations by agenda-driven race ideologues really deviates in any significant way from the facts that Stardust presented in his video. And yet, Not only is there a distinct lack of criticism on Stardust's video, there are even a couple of comments there claiming that Stardust's video somehow debunks Kraut. The term ad hominem is thrown around far too liberally these days. It's the go-to defense for every know-nothing idiot who spews ill-informed nonsense in comment sections, but this is perhaps one of the rare cases where it may legitimately apply. This all seems to be about Kraut's personal character rather than the legitimacy of what he's actually saying regarding biology. I'm not saying that Kraut was in the right, but I don't think his transgression was anywhere near as bad as everyone is making out, and it appears that the inflated drama that followed the Rage After Storm affair is now starting to be used to negate things being said that are otherwise factually correct. I guess my ultimate point here is that you don't have to like the guy or subscribe to him or give him a free pass on stuff that he legitimately gets wrong. But if accuracy and truth is important to you, I would be very cautious about simply labeling the guy an idiot and writing off otherwise valid points about biology and reproduction, all because of an unrelated Twitter drama that happened over a month ago. Now, motivation is a wholly different matter.
Here's the key issue.
See,
what did he think he would win from this battle with the alt-right? Even if he wins against the alt-right, let's just say for the sake of argument that he does 1, 2, 3, 4 videos, and in all 4 of those videos, he just totally levels the alt-right. What is he going to gain? Apart from the animosity of the alt-right, but what would he gain?
I think your point about what Kraut is hoping to win in this fight is completely valid. This is one point that I unequivocally agree with you on. There is ostensibly nothing to be gained by trying to fight these people. You mentioned someone should have given Kraut advice, and so if you're listening to this, if you've made it this far through the video, my advice to you, Kraut, as a guy who has been down this same path before, with alternative hypothesis no less, you need to drop this. By all means, keep making videos about RK selection and genetics. They're interesting topics, but you need to be making those videos for the right reasons. You should be making those videos because they're interesting topics in and of themselves, not because you're trying to gain some ethereal victory over the alt-right. I actually watched some of Alternative Hypothesis's response to you, and predictably, what I saw was a salty ideologue crying that instead of turning to the wise old race realists who would have gladly reviewed your video because they know everything and could have unraveled the mysteries of the universe for you, you instead spoke to actual geneticists who apparently don't know nothing. These are not people that you can have a reasonable exchange with. Alternative hypotheses are ultimately the Kent Hovind of race realism. You know, self-proclaimed Dr. Dino. They are fucking ideologues who've dressed themselves up in white lab coats, but don't mistake what they're doing for actual science. It is all a stage show in aid of pushing their ideological race agenda, and ultimately, they don't give two fucks about factual accuracy. The alt-right, white nationalists, race realists, etc., are relentless fucking trolls with a religious conviction. They will burn you out if you try to go head-to-head against them in an internet flame war, because they are not in it for the facts. They really don't care about the science. The whole term is basically a misnomer. Their position is not actually about race realism. It's about race ideology. It's about white is right. And they will take whatever facts can be conveniently shoehorned in to support that flimsy ideology at any given time. You can't win over that kind of ideological conviction with reasoned logical debate. My advice to you, Kraut, is do not become the alternative hypothesis for the other side. By all means, keep making biology videos if that's where your interests lie, but make sure that you are making those videos for the right reasons. Make them because they're interesting topics, not because you want to push your own agenda or win a moral victory over a bunch of ideological, race-obsessed edgelords.